What a week of calls by Fransky.
Yeah, Fransky's having a good run.
On a heater.
You know how you know, if you didn't see it, if you just watched, just listened, Fransky doesn't miss when he thinks it's a home run, and he gave the it's going
out. Oh, yeah. He gave the it's going out.
Yeah, the only way that wouldn't go out is if Hill stole it. Because that was clearly a home run.
It should have gone out.
Yeah, of course.
And one run game, too, by the way.
Yes. That won the game.
That's the game deciding play.
They are 18-6, best in baseball. In one-run games.
Yeah, oh, I thought you were going to say since Derek Hill got here.
Yeah.
It might be something close to that since he got here. I mean, they've been amazing.
They went 5-2 on the road trip?
Yes. And then before that, they beat the Mets 2 out of 3 here. He's been here, what, 3 weeks now, Derek Hill? I think it's about 3 weeks.
At least two or three. And nobody gave it a second thought when they acquired him.
Well, you know what? I could be misremembering. Doesn't it feel like Dombrowski does better with like the more nondescript, like the Mundo Sosa, Derek Hill type move than the big trade deadline acquisitions?
Well, Duran.
Bader and Duran were his best by far, but I mean the past few more uninspiring than not.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, yeah, and they were desperate when they lost Adolis.
Yeah,
I mean he's been great. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phone lines, Rhea. Where are you on the idea of taking the interim tag off of Don Mattingly?
You always want to rush things.
I do, yeah.
You have no patience for anything.
Slow. Zero. You're good
like
or bad?
You're like a 5-year-old. I mean,
good or bad?
Yeah, I know.
I'll fire people. I'll extend people.
You'll hire them back the next day. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's impressive. I wouldn't do it right now. And I don't know. I mean, he made it very clear that he didn't want the manager's job. Although, I assumed from the moment he got here, he was taking over for Topper
Me too.
Which I didn't think they should have gone into the season with that. I didn't think that was a great idea. In that comment that Steve Gelbs, got from Brandon Marsh, that Mattingly called a team meeting and said, I'm tired of a quiet clubhouse. I'm tired of a quiet dugout. I don't care what your name is. I don't care who you are. I want somebody to fight.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, what he was saying is you guys are acting like a lifeless baseball team.
Wake up.
Yeah, and I will not have it anymore.
You think he might have been calling out a player in particular?
I don't care who you are and what your name is.
Those things sort of, don't they kind of
Does he play first base?
He plays first base. He makes $330 million. Yep. His name rhymes with Schmeich Schmarper.
And he was the one that said we were kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop with the manager.
Correct.
Like, it's dropped now, Bryce. Let's go.
Oh, now we can play.
Yeah.
And then he put his hand on Marsh's shoulder.
And he put his hand on Bohm's shoulder, as you would say, it's rescued his season. All right, so for you, Rhea, would it be the end of the year? Like, when do we go from, hey, he's just here for now, to he's the manager? Because we did this 4 years ago, right? Yeah. Topper was interim. And I remember during that summer, I started to wonder, like, is he going to be the guy? Maybe he's just the guy. And then they got to the World Series, and it was like, well, of course he's going to stay. When for you would it be you're the manager now?
Well, I mean, I think you have to approach Donnie Baseball.
And ask him if
a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Donnie Baseball.
Yes.
So it really depends on what he wants.
Let's say he's willing to do it again next year. Is he just the manager if they do well this season? Or because to me, the part that's fascinating is the Cora thing still looms.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's he wanted him.
And he told us. He said, I tried to get Alex. Alex said no. I said, all right, Don, you're the man.
Just the most bizarre thing.
I've never heard it before.
Dombrowski does give you things. I can't say, like, unlike the Eagles who never tell you anything. No. I want a Cora.
He told us this was his second choice.
Yes.
So that still looms, right? Until Cora gets another job, that's
if they
still
do
there.
Really well under him, and that by well it means go forward a little bit this year in the postseason as opposed to backwards.
Then he's the guy,
and he wants it. Yeah,
it's gonna be after the season. Like sometimes you do fail upwards a little bit. Like remember when the Eagles went? We did WIP picks a quarterback. Angelo picked Russell Wilson.
I think
we wanted.
He yelled at me for wanting to stick with
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, but they ended
Deshaun up. Watson.
We heard they tried to get some of these guys. Yeah. They end up with Jalen, and then they end up having success. Like maybe Mattingly is just the perfect fit for this team right now.
It could be. Yeah, I mean that happens sometimes.
Well, it just seems like he's a very Rob Thompson was chill, right? Don Mattingly strikes me as no nonsense.
Yeah. Yes.
Where he just when they said what was it when Bryce had said. He thinks Bryson Stott should play every day.
Yes.
And Tom Mattingly said, I appreciate all opinions. Well, then,
nice thought, Bryce.
What was it last week where 2 weeks ago when he talked about Bryce's defense? He said Bryce Harper's defense. It's been okay.
It's been okay. Yeah.
He's very honest.
Yes. He's honest in a very just matter of fact way that you just can't really What are you going to say about it?
You know, him and Dave are kind of similar in that way. They just sort of say what's...
Topper would lie to you.
Well, Mattingly and Dombrowski. Like, they just sort of...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm Dombrowski.
They just tell you what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mattingly and Topper, I think, are like almost complete opposites in that way.
I also think Mattingly and this team's timeline kind of fits. Like, it's their last chance together. Like, Mattingly's never won a championship, right? No. All those years of playing, coaching, managing... This team and him are kind of the same. Like, this is their last shot together. If they don't win together, they're probably not going to win.
Maybe he's told them that.
Maybe he has. We're in this together. Yeah, we got one more shot at this.
This is it. If it doesn't happen now, things are going to get broken up.
Who's going to have that story? The next team the Phillies play? I mean, I need someone to have that story.
Play the Mets again?
Yeah,
it was really...
It was an amazing
story.
As soon
as I heard the soundbite, I went, wow, nobody's gotten that.
Buzz, can we hear it again in case someone just hopped in? So this was during the broadcast, the Mets broadcast Friday night, talking about Don Mattingly and his time here in Philadelphia, kind of what he said to the team when he first took over.
You know, they've taken off since. I went over to the Philly side, and I spoke with Brandon Marsh and just asked him, what happened? What is the difference when you do get a spark from a managerial change? And what he said was that when that happened, it was almost as if it felt like the players got smacked in the face. That, you know, they loved Rob Thompson, and it wasn't his fault. And it just kind of woke them up. And he said that they then had a meeting with Don Mattingly. And Mattingly said to the group, listen, I am sick and tired of hearing nobody yelling in the dugout, no conversation in the clubhouse. I don't care who you are, what your name is. I need guys that are going to fight for me innings 1 through 9. And for Marsh, and he said for everybody else, it just really snapped them back into focus, fired them up, and they kind of decided to start playing with their hair on fire again, not worrying about things. They said, we lost 11 in a row. Who cares? Now, if we just play, let it all out, we lose 12 in a row, worst case scenario. And ever since then, it's changed the whole vibe over there, and they have taken off and gone on a run where now they're well in striking distance of the division.
Couple things hit me from that. One, because we heard a lot, Rhea, when he took over, a lot of people said, well, he's similar to Topper.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time the players said Topper fired them up, right? Yeah. Not that he was doing a bad job, but he didn't fire them up. Yeah. Mattingly did. The second thing is him saying he was sick and tired of it means he was observing all this as the bench coach and internalizing it and saying, if I ever get the chance, I'm gonna do it different than Topper because this is ridiculous.
No, there's no doubt in my mind. And again, from the moment he got here, I went, he's going to be in. But here I will suggest, like Brandon Marsh said in that, you know, we had the 11-game losing streak. And so what if we have a 12-game losing streak? Then Joe will absolutely slap the interim time back on Don Mattingly.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're going to fire him.
You just get fired.
He's just out of here. Just
go 0 to 100 and then back to 0.
And we'll go to the next guy. All right, 215-592-9494. David in Westchester's up on WIP. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Kyle. First off, congratulations on being where you belong, buddy. You belong on that side of the glass.
Well, thank you, Dave. But this is a one-day affair.
Interim, we're going to fire him after the show.
Yes. Yeah, we're not taking the tag off.
No.
Yeah. hang on, Hugh, stop eating that. That's not good. Stop it, Hugh. I have him with Hugh here. I can't.
Yeah, much less stressful it's got to be on this side, not telling Hugh not to do things.
I'm not playing with a fidget toy or, you know.
You don't have to worry about Hugh Douglas working blue. Yeah, you don't do any of that. Go
it's
ahead,
like
David.
The Macarena.
Exactly. All right, Joe. So you are let's call it micromanaging right now. You're keying on one stupid little word of interim.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly what it means.
Don Mattingly is the manager. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. He's the manager. Who's the manager right now?
Don Mattingly.
There you go. So who cares if he's interim manager or manager?
Yeah, no, it means something if you're interim. It means you're here for now. That's what
I don't know
means.
If he cares.
Maybe he does. I care.
I kind of don't think he does.
I care.
Okay. I love you. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
I mean, Joe, he's an old man. He's, you know, he's not going to be around for, you know, he's my age. He's not going to be around for 10 years, like you said.
Yeah, you don't
and
got much longer.
He is in charge
Let's stop
team.
With
he,
the old man. Jack McKeon managed Lewis in his, like, 80s, and Jim Leland.
Was that the Marlins manager?
Uh-huh. Yes, and he took over the middle of the season. Yeah. They won the World Series in
03. We interviewed him once.
Jack McKeon?
Yeah, and he was going to the bathroom while he was on the phone with
that
us.
That sounds like Jack McKeon.
Yeah, it was like in the middle of the interview, we heard a flush.
I got to tell you, I miss the manager that just didn't give a crap about anything.
Well, he gave one that day. Well,
Jim Leland smoking cigarettes in the dugout. I love those old school managers. Jack McKeon on the toilet.
I was just going to bring that one up.
That's good.
The WIP or Channel 17 would pan over to Leland. He's standing there in his dugout smoking a cigarette. Oh, yeah. Like, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah, bring
that
it back.
Was great.
So you're not taking the interim tag off, David?
No, well, not right now. You don't need to, Joe. You really don't need to. Why try to fix what's not broken? This isn't broken. This is working. And you know what? Run with it, man. Just enjoy it. Because you know why? It's the Philly, so it's not going to last. But just run with this wave. Ride it, man. Wow. Just ride it, baby.
Well, so. I mean, to your point on that, whether it be the Phillies or not, they're probably not going to play at this pace the rest of the season, right? I mean, they're playing David Goodfellow.
Scorching. It's like it's, you know, it's, which is great. I mean, listen, they've made the summer fun again.
They have.
So I thank them for that. I need my baseball team.
Well, in April, I thought it was over.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I started thinking about, like, like,
we're going to have a long...
what are we doing here? A lot of Jalen Hurts list talk,
we
people.
We did shows here between, like, what, 2011 and 2021 for a decade where we had no baseball.
Yeah.
By April 2nd.
I started here in the middle of that. 2013 was my first show here. And it was, baseball's my favorite to talk about. Yeah. So it was like, it was hard. I wanted to do it. I was like, but it's Tommy Joseph. Like, nobody cares.
Nobody cared. Where is he? Is he out of baseball now?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I'd have to imagine, right?
He had concussions.
Concussion issues.
And he wasn't that great of a player. Yeah. On top of it all.
I agree with the it's not broke, don't fix it thing. Like, it was broke and they fixed it. And now why am I going to make a change again just for the sake of making a change?
It's a reward. He's earned it.
It's been 56 games. They're not rewarding anybody for 56 games.
56 great games that have changed the season.
They've only won 38 of them.
Well, that's pretty good. Rhea, where are you on this division? They're only three back now.
I'd said I wouldn't start looking at the standings until they got to five. And now I'm looking at the standings. So the Braves, in the last 10 games, they're 3-7. They've obviously got injury issues.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing is, they weren't going to play as scorching a pace as they were.
Yes.
But the Phillies look so bad. But to be 10 games over, what was the stat? They're the first team in history.
Yeah.
To be 10 under
before
in
July.
April.
And then 10 over.
Before July 1st.
Yep. It's pretty remarkable. But yeah, now, I mean, once you get to three games, why not? Because some of their big guys are still not going to be back for a while.
Yeah, Acuna. And I don't even know if Strider is going to be the same ever again.
No,
I don't think he is.
He looks cooked.
Yeah. Well, that's all that legwork will do it
to you. Yeah, it will. And the Phillies see them not until September, then we get them seven times in 10 days. So
that could be wild.
Of course it could. Yeah. If we're within three or four games, I mean, that's it right there.
Ahead.
They could bury him. Imagine that if the Phillies buried the Braves before the middle of September.
That would be fun.
They were 11 back 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. You just thought there was... and the thing is, the Phillies kept winning, and they weren't gaining any ground whatsoever.
For like a month. Yeah. No, it's been remarkable. 215-592-9494. All right. Along with everything we're talking about today, we do have a great giveaway. We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic presented by USA Baseball on Friday, July 10th, 7 p.m., Citizens Bank Park. For tickets, information, MLB.com. So this is part of the All-Star festivities. I know you guys were giving away the Futures game tickets
Correct.
This morning.
Yep.
So all the great stuff going on at the park, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday Home Run Derby, the game Tuesday. So we have the tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. We had Milt Thompson on a Friday with us.
He's the best.
He was awesome. And telling us about the game and why it's such a cool thing. So, all right. So, Hugh's not here today, but we thought we can't not have fun with Hugh Douglas.
We're
going to
talk crap behind his back.
Yeah. So, here's what we're looking for today. So,
it's not behind his back, by the way.
That's true.
He'll hear it.
Nobody's listening.
The best answer we get to this today wins the tickets. Your favorite Hugh Douglas moment, your go to Hugh Douglas moment. Now, this could be as a player, and obviously, there are a lot of great moments as a player. Or it could be as a radio host.
Or as an actor. I mean, Hugh's wore many hats in his life.
He's given us a lot. So your go-to Hugh Douglas moment story, the best one we get today, wins these tickets. I'm going to take one off the board because I feel it's going to be very popular. And I don't want to have to, like, just the first caller gets it. Can we hear my favorite, of course, is when he took out Sean King back in the vet against the Bucs. Let's hear it. It's my favorite moment. It's the call. You know what else I love? I love the roar of the crowd at the vet. The new stadiums, Rhea, just don't sound like that.
They don't have it. Like, what I love is the quality of the sound.
Yes.
It was so bad back
in the
day.
You could tell how long ago that was.
It's been a long time.
It's been 26 years.
I have a lot of Hugh Douglas, because, you know, Hugh worked with us on the morning show many, many years ago. That a lot of ones I can't tell. The story that I love, he told last week, because I'm not surprised by it all. That he never paid attention on the defense, and Hollis had to tell him what the plays were. Hollis, what are we running? He's like, never listened. And that sounds absolutely like you.
The huddle's like our huddle before the show. It's the same. Yeah,
he doesn't listen in there either. No.
I think my favorite was when he fantasized openly about Dak Prescott in an Eagles uniform on our show.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he was upset that people were upset at him.
Yeah.
We were like, Hugh, you know what you just did, right?
I think it really marked the first time where it was Hugh. Because usually it's like, Joe and Kyle, you idiots. Like, get Hugh Douglas out of there. Like, he's the only cool one.
No, yeah.
And that was the moment where everyone was like, not you too, Hugh. Yeah. Like, you have betrayed us.
I think my favorite part of it was he thought it was no different than if I were to say, imagine if Burrow or Allen were here, right?
Sure.
Look at all this talent. But it's a Cowboy.
It's a Cowboy.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You can't just like put Dak here. It's not the same.
And we got Twitter fingers, Hugh, for a solid like 48 hours after.
It was bad.
Oh, it was a lot. Yeah. But it's a good Hugh Douglas moment. There's so many. All right, best answer we get today to your favorite Hugh Douglas moment. Go to Hugh Douglas moment. Wins the tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. So Linda in Ballard wanted to talk to Rhea while she's with us about Derek Hill. Linda, good to hear from you.
Linda.
Thank you, Miss Rhea Hughes, you sweetie. Fuck.
Miss Linda, how are you doing?
Honey, I missed you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
So much. And I love hearing your voice.
Thank you.
It's just a wonderful thing.
It's so funny. Whenever I hear Linda in Bala Cynwyd, I think that doesn't sound right. But you've been there for a long time now, right?
6 years, July 12th.
There you go. I love it.
I'll be 78 in August, Ray.
Oh, my God. Happy. But when's your birthday in August?
31st.
There you go. Okay. Well, happy birthday. I will be thinking of you that day.
Thank you, honey. You know what that catch reminded me of, Ray, and you're going to remember this. Aaron Rowan running into that gate and breaking his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Broke his face.
Did.
Linda, I showed my son the Hill catch, and then I showed him the Aaron Rowan catch, and he goes, what happened to his face? I go, he broke it.
He ran right into that wall.
He didn't play for like a month. So, yeah, I showed it to my son right after I showed him the Hill catch.
Yeah, and that was right after Ricky Waters said, for who, for what? And Aaron Rowan said, for who, for what, for my teammates, he said. And I just love that. But anyway, that's all. You guys, I don't have a favorite Hugh moment.
Oh, that's okay. Linda, that's okay.
All of y'all take care.
Take care, Linda.
I send my love. Rhea, take care.
Take care,
honey.
Linda.
Thank you for the call, Linda.
She's been calling forever. She's the best.
I love Linda. Her and I used to talk a lot of baseball when I was at night. Yeah.
At night,
she loves.
I don't know if I know a single caller who loves baseball more than her.
I used to say to her, I think you watch more baseball than I do.
Yeah,
she knew all the teams and players. She's awesome. Great caller. And that, I mean, is it the best catch we've seen here since Rowan? It might be.
It might be. And I will tell you, if you do go online and Google the Rowan catch and Facebook, there's one where it's got a split screen of him like today, and he goes through it. It's pretty wild.
Oh, wow.
He's talking about it, and it's like, oh, my God.
The other catch I think about, and it's not good. It's just I was like holding my breath that he caught it. Remember Odubel catching the
no-hitter?
Ball for the no-hitter for Hamels?
In Chicago,
when
right?
When he like spun around and then fell down, and it was like, wasn't even that hard of a catch.
No, it wasn't.
He made it look so hard.
The degree of difficulty he turned that into.
Yeah, well, that was him.
It was frightening.
Yes, it was. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Rhea, thank you so much
you got
for being
it. Thanks,
in.
Guys.
All right, your full
We'll see
calls.
You at the game tonight.
Yes, everyone's going to the game tonight.
I'm going.
We could see Aaron Nola pitch. Get excited. Nola tonight. He's actually been better lately.
He's been okay.
Yeah. No,
and you know what? That's all I need.
Give me 5 innings, 2 runs, and we're
good.
We're cool with that. Thank you, Rhea. All right, we got a lot to get to coming up here. Your phone calls list, your go-to Hugh Douglas moment for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park on Friday, July 10th. We also, of course, got to get into something said by an ex-Eagle on Friday. You know, I can't decide whether it's just, hey, man, shut up, or does the guy have a point? We'll talk about that next, because he said something that really resonated with me in the midst of a crazy, wild article. That's next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The